The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Seeing that never gets old, and you heard DeAndre Hopkins call that the best catch of his career, but how about these plays? Flashback to 2017 against the Steelers. Hopkins with the acrobatic juggle on the end zone on a jump ball fade throw from TJ Yates. And then let's go to 2015. Hopkins making a one-handed touchdown catch over Pac-Man Jones on another fade pass there. Another in 2014 against the Giants. Hopkins with a 53-yard one-handed grab with his left hand. Unfortunately, that one would be called back because of the penalty, but it's still impressive, so that's why we see it right there. Welcome, everybody, to NFL Live on a Monday. So glad you're with us. We're just a few hours away from Monday Night Football. Of course, the Vikings and the Bears. We'll get all the information that you need to know from Soldier Field. Dan Orlovsky, the back of your head looking real good today, Dan. We got Mina Kimes. We got Marcus Spears there. Adam Schefter with us as well. And let's begin with breaking news. This one all about Saints QB Drew Brees. He has multiple rib fractures on both sides of his chest and a collapsed lung on the right side, according to Ed Werder. Adam Schefter, what are you hearing about Brees' health right now and the Saints' immediate plans at quarterback?
Well, Lauren, make no mistake about it. He's going to miss some time here. The question is how much. Dan Graziano said a short time ago that the initial estimates could be 2 to 3 weeks, maybe longer depending on this injury. But you've got three fractured ribs on the left side. You've got two fractured ribs on the right side. You've got a collapsed lung at this point in time. That's a lot of injuries for an older quarterback to get through at this point in time. And so for the time being, Sean Payton does not want to identify who's going to start in Brees' place. But think of it this way. When Brees went out of the game yesterday, when he was having a hard time breathing, they turned to Jameis Winston. You'd have to imagine they do the same thing this week against Atlanta because they value Taysom Hill as a playmaker, a catcher, a runner, a receiver, somebody who can play on special teams. And so that may be the arrangement for this team for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, Adam, right back with us momentarily. And you mentioned Sean Payton there. Sean Payton was asked about this about an hour ago, did not comment on Brees' injury situation at all. You heard Adam there talking about 2 to 3 weeks at least for Drew Brees. That may even be on the optimistic side. Dan, how big a deal is this for the Saints?
Oh, this is enormous. This is a team that's trending toward the one seed in the NFC. And we know the playoffs are different this year, where that one seed is the only team that's going to get a bye. And we have to understand, like, how this offense operates under Drew Brees. And operate is the perfect word. You know, this is a quarterback that has a complete understanding of how they want to call their plays. And the ball gets out of his hands into playmakers like Alvin Kamara's hands and Michael Thomas's hands. And it's this constant churning forward. If you go back to last year when he got hurt, that's exactly the style that Teddy Bridgewater played under, because they're very similar quarterbacks. Jameis is not really that kind of quarterback. Jameis doesn't play the point guard type of quarterback where he's completion driven and he wants to get ball out into space with their pass catchers, the ability to kind of run after the catch. And so how is this offense now going to operate with Sean Payton going, okay, Jameis Winston's a different type of player, and how is he going to get our offense to be as just efficient as Drew always has? And so this is a really big deal with this football team.
Dan, you're absolutely right. Jameis is obviously very different from Brees, which is why I'm curious to see whether they change the offense at all, whether they change the game plan. I'm not going to make any judgments based on what we saw from him coming in relief of Brees when he got hurt. But here's what I'll add. This isn't just monumental for the Saints. It's monumental for Jameis Winston. Look, we know what his problem is as a quarterback. It's no secret. It's the turnovers. Now, in Tampa Bay, people defended him at times, saying didn't have a good run game, didn't have good protection until the end of his career. They didn't have a good defense. Well, in New Orleans, he's got an amazing run game, an amazing offensive line, and over the last 2 weeks, an amazing defense.
Yeah.
There's no more excuses. Heck, he can't even blame his eyesight. He got LASIK. So this doesn't even just matter for him now. It just doesn't just matter for the Saints. This matters for the trajectory of his career, because it'll be forever shaped by what happens over the next few weeks.
Mm. Yeah, both of you make great points. This boils down to the project of Sean Payton and Jameis Winston, right? We said that he needed to take some time away from the field so he could see the game in a different way. We all know what we're talking about. We're talking about ball security. We're talking about the difference between the New Orleans Saints being able to hold this thing together until Drew Brees can get back. That's the bottom line. So I want to see the influence of Sean Payton on Jameis Winston. I want to see all of those practices that he's had a chance to amass, all of the sideline work that he's been able to do between Sean Payton and Drew Brees, and watching a Hall of Famer, one of the best to ever do it, operate at his job, and see if that influences how Jameis Winston's approach changes when he's installed into the football game. So I can't wait to see if we see a new Jameis, a more affluent quarterback as far as decision making.
Okay. Dan, when this happened yesterday and they showed some photos of Drew Brees, video of him right after it happened, you said he's injured his ribs. You've had similar injuries. Yeah. Just how would you describe what it feels like when just as a regular person, when I hear cracked ribs and punctured lungs, I think it sounds terrible.
Yeah, I cracked and fractured my third and fourth rib, which are up high, and then punctured my lung. And so the biggest challenge was, like, it was on my right side. It was the pain aspect of things. I didn't practice all week, played in the game, but it was a pain thing and really couldn't take shots for that pain because really, it's so close to your aorta, you've got to be ready for if something catastrophic happens. And so it affected every single thing that I did as a quarterback. And it was a big deal of like, okay, coach, you got to know I can't take any shots. And so it's going to be about how quickly Drew can heal and then deal with the pain. And I'd add two things. Like, this is huge because this is a win now team as well. Like, this is a team that is built to win the Super Bowl this year. Next year's a rebuild. And so there's a lot of layers to this injury for the Saints and for the NFL.
Yeah, Adam, let's bring you back in here.
You don't
with
have to
more
worry about it.
What'd you say, Marcus?
You don't have to worry about it when you got padding around your ribs like me.
Well,
you got to worry about breaking them things.
Oh, my goodness. All right, on that note, let's bring Adam back in here with more on this whole situation. Adam, you just heard Dan referring to it. Felt like the Saints were going all in this year on trying to win the Super Bowl. Just what more can you add on what this injury could mean for them long term?
Well, long term, it's mixed in with the short term, Laura. And essentially, this becomes an audition for Jameis Winston to see what he's capable of doing if and when Drew Brees is not back next season. And I think there's a widespread sense, belief, whatever you want to call it, that this was going to be Drew Brees' last season. And I think when you're 41 years old and you're out there playing with cracked ribs and a collapsed lung, I think that just reinforces the notion NBC's waiting for him. And I think he's waiting for NBC. And he's a great quarterback. He's been in this league for 20 years. He's had a Hall of Fame career. But essentially, at some point, you move on. And I think a lot of people believe that it will be after this season. And once it is, what do the Saints then do? Now, I think that they believe an awful lot in Taysom Hill. But last year, Teddy Bridgewater stepped in and went 5-0 in Brees' absence. Jameis Winston's going to get a similar opportunity now, we would expect, though Sean Payton did not want to identify who will be his starter. And so we'll see. It's an opportunity for Jameis, an opportunity for Taysom, and this is the start of the future for New Orleans.
All right, and one more thing I'd like to add before we go to break. You know, to Marcus's point about padding around the ribs, we're getting closer to Thanksgiving. If you're feeling guilty about what you're eating, don't, because there are huge advantages to having padding around the ribs, obviously.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Bears and Vikings play on Monday Night Football. For more, let's check in at Domino's pregame headquarters where Lisa Salters is standing by. Lisa, there has been no better running back in recent weeks than Dalvin Cook, totaling 6 touchdowns in his last 2 games. But he's got to go against the Bears defense tonight. So what should we be looking out for?
Laura, something has got to give tonight, either Vikings running back Dalvin Cook or the Bears defense. Cook leads the league in rushing with 858 yards through 9 weeks, including 369 yards in just the last 2 games, both division wins. And he's accounted for a league most 34% of his team's offense coming into the week. Cook's nickname is the Chef, and yes, he has been cooking lately, but in three career games against the Bears defense, the Chef has been thrown out of the kitchen. Cook has just 86 total rushing yards against the Bears and no runs over 10 yards. I asked him how he expects to change that tonight, and he said with his intensity level. He said he thought the entire team, including himself, had been kind of outplayed by Chicago in each of the last three contests. He said the key tonight will be jumping on them early. And he also said to watch out for the matchup between him and Bears defensive end Akeem Hicks. He said, our relationship isn't too good. Hicks likes to trash talk, and Cook doesn't want to hear it. So again, Laura, something's got to give tonight.
I love it. Hey, 3 hours and about 43 minutes to kick off right here on ESPN and Monday Night Football. And you just heard it right there. Maybe some trash talk between Dalvin Cook and Akeem Hicks. Marcus, what do you think Cook does against this Bears D tonight?
I think he'll outrush his career averages against the Chicago Bears. And we know how good this defense is, but I believe Dalvin Cook is in a groove that very few running backs get into, especially when your team is not cooking all around you. But look, this is going to be one of the situations where Kirk Cousins is going to have to make a few throws to open some things up for Dalvin Cook in order for him to get going. But I believe he'll have a really good night against Chicago just based on the law of averages. This will be his fourth time. He's been averaging 2.5 yards a carry. Right now, he's averaging 6.4 a carry. I think he continues a nice trend tonight against the Bears.
Yeah. I want to watch the matchup of probably one of the better NFC duos at receiver with Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen versus probably one of the better corner duos in the NFC and Jalen Johnson and Kyle Fuller. And really, it's going to be a little bit of the play action pass to Dalvin Cook, but then to those receivers. And I want to see who wins that matchup. The Bears are playing a lot more man coverage this year, and Fuller and Johnson have been absolutely spectacular. I say this all the time about their coverage. Everything's going to be difficult. So who wins those matchups? Is it going to be Justin Jefferson winning on those crossing the field routes and Thielen in those contested catchers? Or are both those DBs going to dominate this game? That's the matchup I want to watch.
You know, Mina, Bears coach Matt Nagy has given up play calling duties, interestingly enough. How important is tonight for him considering that?
Oh, it's huge for all of the coaches. I mean, Matt Nagy, he hasn't been perfect as a play caller, but much like the way our friend Dan is dressed today, he's in a bit of a pickle because the answer at quarterback is simply not on this Bears roster. Now, I've been clear. I thought they were perfectly right to move on from Trubisky, but Nick Foles has struggled under pressure and he's had very few clean pockets to work with. That said, tonight, they get to face a Vikings defense that ranks last in the NFL in pressure rate. So it feels like if it's ever going to happen, it's going to happen tonight for Foles, because we know the better matchup, as Marcus and Dan discussed, is on the other side of the ball.
A bit of a pickle. Let's continue.
I hate you.
So good. Let's pick the game and see if any of us end up in a pickle as we carry on here. Dan, who are you taking between the Bears and the Vikings?
I'm going to take the Vikings. I'm going to pick them to win 21-20. I'm trying to sit here and think of a comeback for Mina. I can't stop laughing. 21-20 Vikings.
Marcus.
I got the Vikings 24-17 against the Chicago Bears. I believe Dalvin has a good night tonight, L Boogie, and he goes off. So I'm taking the Minnesota Vikings.
Mina.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say the Bears, even though they have the better record, because I think the best unit on the field is that defense.
All right, so the girls are on the Bears. The boys are on the Vikings. We're going to have some beef tomorrow. Mina and I are definitely going to be right, so we picked the Bears. Hey, reminder, by the way, Kirk Cousins looking for his first win on Monday Night Football. He's 0-9 on Monday Night Football.
Go.
That's the longest losing streak by any starting quarterback. That's actually why I picked the Bears.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Y'all already know what time it is. It's time to get it cracking. And I'm so excited because they got D linemen with interceptions this week. My man, Jason Pierre-Paul, dropping in coverage. Look at the hip switch, and you get your hands on the ball. Listen, he struggles a little bit more to catch the ball than everybody else, and we all know why. But he gets this one done. Jason Pierre-Paul, shout out to you for picking him off, man. I'm going to another INT. My man, Carl Nassib, they are dropping D linemen in coverage like they crazy in the NFL these days. The seed drops in the window. Drew Locke doesn't see him. I'm gonna pick you off, Drew. We got hands too, Drew Locke. This is what we do. Listen, this may be arguably the biggest and best big man baller ever. I'm going to high school, y'all. My man, Howard Brown. Look at the big fella. He is 6'2", 310, plays quarterback, and he is getting down the line to the end zone. He's not going to get caught if everybody's thinking that, because we can pick him up and put him down too. They make athletes in 300 plus. They have extra large athletes, and all I'm doing on Big Man Balling every week is just trying to give a shout out to the double X, triple XL fellas. Yeah. That's what we doing, baby. That's this week's Big Man Balling. Shout out to Howard Brown. Committed to Iowa, I think, and he's going to play some quarterback as well.
Tua Tagovailoa showed the fighting spirit on Sunday in the Dolphins' 29-21 win over the Chargers as the former Bama product finished with 169 yards, a pair of touchdowns, improving to 3-0 in his young career as a starter. The Dolphins' five-game win streak, their longest since six straight wins in 2016. Dan, when we saw Tua announced as a starter, some wondered if it was really the right move, but now we've seen him, I know you were one of them, now we've seen him really show why maybe it was the right move. What have you seen from him, and what did you see from him Sunday?
Yeah, right now it's this evolution week by week of what their offense is going to look like. A couple nice things that they're doing. Chan Gailey is their play caller. I love the fact that they're putting two tight ends on the field a lot. You see this 22 personnel, right? Look, it's going to look like run game. You pull the backside guard, and then you're just going to replace that tight end behind that second level of defense. This is great by Tua. Sees that second level, but watch, no hit. Foot in the ground, ball gets over those linebackers, and it's great distribution. Then down in the red zone, the ball's just coming out so quickly. You have the bunch up top, and they're going to box to the bunch as those defenders. Well, how do you want to attack it? You're going to take the outside receiver and take away the inside defender. Flat route, and then Jakeem Grant's got to go separate and widen that box. But look at the ball come out on time. Grant's putting his left foot in the ground. The ball's high and on time in the red zone. This team has become so good in the red zone because, you know, Tua's greatest attribute is his brain, how quickly he's thinking and seeing things. So I love the fact of the tight ends on the field, the play action pass, protecting Tua, but still operating quickly. And then he's like Orlando Bloom from Lord of the Rings, man, in the red zone. Like, it's coming out so quickly with deadly accuracy.
Oh, man. Yeah, Mina, that's like what all of our faces are saying after that. Really, really quick, Mina. Go ahead.
Too cool for Game of Thrones, but not Lord of the Rings. Sorry. Yeah, keep going.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
Dan,
one of them's real.
If you missed it, Dan doesn't know. He's never watched Game of Thrones. Anyway, it's really fun to talk about Tua, but the Dolphins' defense has really been the story over these last couple of weeks. Since Miami's five-game winning streak began in week five, it's held opposing quarterbacks to an NFL low 36 QBR, as well as the NFL's best-scoring defense over that span. The Dolphins have been stout in the secondary, but their pressure in the front seven has been off the charts. Since week five, their 86 quarterback pressures trail only the Cardinals. So, Marcus, should this defense scare teams at this point?
Yeah, they should. And they're built the right way. Listen, we talked about the offseason moves that the Miami Dolphins had made and bringing Van Noy over and obviously signing Byron Jones to a long extension a couple years ago, signing Xavier Howard. You see Ogbah, who came over from Kansas City. Like, this team is stacked with players that can absolutely get after it. And then you see Christian Wilkins starting to become the player that they thought he could be when they drafted him. Sealer is another guy, a defensive lineman that is not getting a lot of recognition, but making a lot of plays for this defense. Flores has done a tremendous job. He's put He's brought guys in that in an image in how he's learned how to call defenses, and he's able to execute those defenses because of the names. Xavier Howard, Byron Jones are guys that can lock up. So in turn, you can run zero pressure and lead them guys alone on the island. Eric Rowe has stepped up, and give a shout out to their GM Greer, who decided to get all of these players in and make it happen.
You know, what I dislike about talking about the Dolphins is I end up using cliches I normally hate, like complimentary football, winning in all three phases, like those football terms that don't, you know, like they're cliches. But then you watch this team and they're all true. Dan talked about the offense. Marcus talked about the defense and how well this team is built. How about special teams, right? How about the fact that they came into yesterday's game ranked second in special teams, according to Football Outsiders, and then Andrew Van Ginkle, I hope I say his name right, because that's my favorite name in the NFL. I think it's Van Winkle. Anyways, he blocks the punt, and he says afterwards that they were coached to do that. This is just a well-coached team. It's no coincidence that in the first quarter of games, they have the best point differential in the NFL. They never come out flat. They always come in week to week with a different plan, which is very Patriots-like, and they execute. That's why this is such a terrifying team.
Hey. I was trying to Google really fast. It's Van Ginkle,
it's Van
right?
Ginkle. Yeah,
there
Wisconsin.
We go.
It's Van Ginkle. There we go. Shout out to you, Andrew Van Ginkle.
Don't you think, hang on, don't you guys think that this is the first real kind of Belichick disciple that it actually looks like New England on tape? Like, we can say that, right? And that's not to discredit Miami. That's actually to, like, applaud them and speak glowingly of them. This is the first one that when I watch it on tape, I'm going, man, that looks a lot like New England week to week to week. They got the best week-to-week pulse in the NFL. Miami does.
Yeah, and one other reminder, guys, just on the Tua front, it is today the one-year anniversary of his injury at Alabama that had some wondering if he would ever play again. He even wondered if he would walk again. So congrats to Tua on the progress. Let's get Adam Schefter back in here. And, Adam, we're getting closer to kickoff between the Vikings and the Bears at Soldier Field right here on ESPN. What should we know about key injuries tonight, beginning with Allen Robinson?
Laura, he's been nursing a knee injury that had him limited in practice all week long. He's listed as questionable, but the sense and belief is that Allen Robinson should be able to go tonight against a depleted Vikings secondary. Now, again, Robinson's been highly productive, and he could have some pretty good numbers against a secondary that has struggled this season, but he looks like he will be able to go. As for the Chicago Bears running back David Montgomery, he already has been ruled out of tonight's game due to a concussion. Basically suffered the concussion late in last Sunday's loss to the Titans. The Bears are going to use a combination of Cordarrelle Patterson and Ryan Nall and Lamar Miller to try to help replace David Montgomery, who had been a workhorse for that team.
All right, and some huge names dealing with injuries around the league outside of just the game tonight. Let's start in Carolina. What do we know about Teddy Bridgewater?
Well, the good news, according to Chris Mortensen, is that there was nothing structurally wrong with Teddy Bridgewater's knee right now. There is soreness, there is swelling right now, and they don't know whether he'll be able to play against Detroit. Matt Rhule, the Panthers coach, said he's quote-unquote hopeful that Bridgewater can practice on Wednesday, but I think his status for this week is very much uncertain. Not as much as true for Panthers. Well, Andrew Whitworth suffered a knee injury again on Sunday night. Christian McCaffrey here essentially has that shoulder injury that he's been dealing with, and it is unlikely that he's going to be able to play. I think the team still considers him week to week, but I think it's preparing for a multi-week absence due to that shoulder injury that he suffered against Kansas City. And as for Drew Brees, as Ed Werder reported earlier today, he is dealing with broken ribs on both sides, a collapsed lung. Dan Graziano says the most optimistic timetable is to return in 2 to 3 weeks. Sean Payton said today does not want to name a new starter, but he did turn to Jameis Winston yesterday. The sense and belief is that he go to Winston again because they don't want to lose Taysom Hill as an offensive weapon and effective special teams performer.
All right, more on this and so much more with Adam Schefter and the gang on Monday Night Countdown. That at 6 Eastern right here on ESPN, so keep it locked right here for the rest of the night. And then now let's bring in our ESPN injury analyst, Stefania Bell, for more on Drew Brees. What is the nature of this injury to Drew Brees? What more can you tell us just about that, Stefania?
It's really something. I mean, he's dealing with broken ribs on both sides of his chest wall. Broken ribs on the left side, which apparently they believe happened in the Tampa Bay game 2 weeks ago. Broken ribs on the right side that happened in the game against the 49ers yesterday. And in conjunction with that, a pneumothorax, or collapsed lung, as you heard Adam say. Essentially, when you have a rib fracture, you can get a sharp edge. And if that edge creates a puncture in the lung area, then you get an abnormal collection of air between the lung and the chest wall, puts pressure on it. That's why they call it a collapsed lung. The good news is it should heal by itself. It's not something that will require any additional treatment per se.
Oh, man, as you're saying it, though, it makes me cringe. I just feel for Drew Brees. I hope he gets better soon. Stefania, speaking of that, what do you think the realistic timetable of recovery could be?
Well, as you heard, this 2 to 3 weeks at the soonest, you've got a few things layered into the recovery here. First and foremost is the lung tissue and allowing it to heal. And usually within a couple of weeks, that will happen for a small pneumothorax, which this appears to be. But then you're dealing with the fractures themselves, and it takes about 6 weeks for the bone to heal. Now, we see guys come back from rib fractures sooner than that, but there's key elements that go into that decision making. The fracture has to be stable. You don't want any sharp edges that can move and create a lung puncture like you had when the original injury happened. So they're going to want to see evidence of healing of the rib, and that usually takes a few weeks. Beyond that, you've got his shoulder that's been bothering him lately. He's got to be able to throw the ball without pain in the chest or pain in the shoulder. So a lot going on there, Laura.
All right. Thanks so much to Stefania Bell, ESPN injury analyst, for joining us here with all the latest on Drew Brees' injury. It wasn't all bad news, though, out of New Orleans. Marcus, you have a really good story to tell us about.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to DeMario Davis, the linebacker for the New Orleans Saints. His one-year-old daughter, Carly Faith, has been cleared of cancer. So I just wanted to celebrate him and his family. I know it's been a trying time, but he's kept the faith, been very strong about going through this process with his one-year-old daughter. So just wanted to give the Davis family some love and encouragement. And everybody's out here rooting for you. Congratulations to them and their family.
So well said, Marcus. And yeah, definitely all of us here thinking about them.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's get back to some Week 10 action from last night. Ravens taking on the Patriots, and yet singing in the rain, pretty appropriate. It was, how do you say, blustery out there, if you will. Let's pick it up late in the second quarter. Look at that rain. Patriots down 10-7. Newton to Jacoby Myers.
This is a great play design. First of all, Jacoby Myers has got to make sure that he's behind Cam Newton, so it's a lateral. This is well done. And then this is actually really good coverage by Baltimore. This is just awesome by Rex Burkhead. Football player Rex Burkhead tracking that ball, sliding underneath, touchdown New England.
Myers was a QB in his high school days, so there you go. Third quarter, Patriots lead 13-10. Damian Harris breaks through the hole.
No, that's Cam Newton. That's a touchdown for New England.
Oh, we saw
that.
Me.
That's that week one quarterback sweep, break play designed to attack man coverage.
Well, Damian Harris, I wanted to get him in, but he wasn't there. How about Lamar Jackson finding Willie Snead?
This is really good. You got cover three, so you're going to get Snead from one side of the field to the other, move the free safety, get it over that linebacker. A good red zone touchdown for Lamar and the Ravens.
Ravens down 23-17, under 10 seconds left, 4th and 6. The rain coming down harder, and Jackson to J.K. Dobbins, but Danny drops it.
I mean, if he catches that, game's still over. They got to go 70 yards in 1 second in that weather. So credit New England. This is a great win by them.
Yeah, the weather certainly factored into this one. I mean, there's no doubt about it. When you watch that, it was coming down like crazy, Mina. But what did you make of the play calling for the Ravens?
Well, I want to talk about that, Laura, because the weather makes it a little hard for me to criticize the execution, right? I mean, it was raining so hard out there. I feel bad going after, I don't know, the Ravens wide receivers for some of their drops, or Matt Skura, who was snapping that football like he was a bridesmaid at a wedding, throwing the bouquet. Lamar was just hoping it landed somewhere in his vicinity. But the coaches are not above reproach. The rain shouldn't affect what they were doing. And I wanted to highlight a couple of the decisions they made on fourth down in the third quarter. Okay, so you got Lamar Jackson. It's pouring rain. For some reason, they thought it was a good idea to snap it directly to Mark Ingram and shotgun. Ingram hasn't played in weeks. So sure, dial up the Wildcat, even though Lamar Jackson's your quarterback. That befuddled me. And then later on in the game, in the fourth quarter, again faced with fourth and short, they didn't go for it. And that proved costly for them. And I was honestly confused by it. Look, this game, when the weather is this bad, I really truly believe you can only take away so much from it. But we've seen decisions like this all year long for Baltimore, and when the margin of error is small, and it is small for them because the offense isn't as explosive, these decisions can cost football games.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson did comment post-game about the predictable play calling that he had referenced before. He said that wasn't an issue. But, Dan, what do you think has changed from last season's MVP performance to what we're seeing the current version of Lamar Jackson?
I mean, last year was a little bit of utopia, right? Like, you had this offensive line. It was just dominant at the line of scrimmage. And so you could do whatever you want. You always dictated the defense. Then you had this really unique scheme that hadn't been seen in the NFL, certainly in a long time, and how you defend it. You had this personnel that was so difficult to match up with as well. I've hit on those tight ends for such a long time now. So it was a lot of aspects. I don't want to discredit the MVP season, but it was like you were set up to constantly succeed as a quarterback, right? And now this season, we've just seen small little cracks in that utopia. The loss of a Hall of Famer guard. The loss of that third tight end. Now your left tackle's out. Now your best blocking tight end is out. And so there's just these small little cracks at what was allowing you to be so successful. And so the challenge for Lamar is, how do you replicate the MVP season without that environment that was so built upon or so built for success? And so it's got to be a little bit more better coaching. Lamar's got to play better. This is when the Ravens need MVP Lamar to show up, and so all eyes are on him for the remainder of this season and how he performs.
Well, I'm not about to absolve the Baltimore Ravens of anything. Listen, I know it was inclement weather, but what are the Baltimore Ravens known for? And what did
Ground
they do against the Pittsburgh Steelers without Marshall Yonder and their left tackle being out? The New England Patriots just ran through the Baltimore Ravens. That's what happened, y'all. Like, we can break this game down. We can talk about Greg Roman and his plan and Lamar and the rain and all of that. The New England Patriots, Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels said, we are going to hand the football off to Damian Harris. We are going to let Cam run, and we're going to let Burkhead run. And we are going to beat the Baltimore Ravens at doing what the Baltimore Ravens are supposed to do to people. I'm with you, Mina, in, as far as the Wildcat with Ingram and the play design and all of that. We all know where the problems lie with the Baltimore Ravens. But in inclement weather like this, who would we have thought would have had the advantage? The Ravens. The New England Patriots flipped the script and ran through the Baltimore Ravens yesterday, y'all.
Speaking of flipping the script for the New England Patriots, new on NFL Live right now. This just in from Bill Belichick, and he was asked about something related to cooking, I think, or one meal that he would cook. He said that he would make Caesar salad, grilled steak, put together the crepe Suzette. He learned how to do it at Middleton's restaurant that he worked at in Annapolis. He had to make it tableside, trying not to set the customers on fire. Now, just for those of you who may not know what a crepe Suzette is, it's one of those things that they make by the table, and they're like, they got the flame torch out there. There might be some orange liqueur involved. Either way, who knew that Bill Belichick was dialing up crepe Suzettes like that?
We're learning so much about him this year.
Do you think it's pronounced crepe Suzette? Like, more than
what did you just do?
Crepe Suzette.
Oh, my goodness. Dan now thinks he's French. Oh, and each Monday here on NFL Live, we put the spotlight on a high school football coach of the week. This week, the Bears have selected Fenton High School's Matthew Lynch. And Coach Lynch inspires and empowers his team to serve the community with various projects, like the team's annual trip to the Shriners Hospital for Children. The Fenton Bison scheduled to play in the spring as their season was postponed due to COVID-19. So you may be wondering why we haven't talked about this catch a little more on the show. It's because we're going to get right to it right now. It was unbelievable. And Dan Orlovsky, you say it's not even a Hail Mary.
Well, you see the trips up top, hops at the bottom of the screen by himself. They're really trying to get fits on this crossing route to get even closer for the real Hail Mary. This is going to be a designed rollout, okay? You pull the guard and Kyler's going to sprint out. But here's what happens. The Buffalo defensive line actually wins this rep. They get outside from that sprinting guard. Kyler be the number one pick in the draft. Dip underneath that tackle, full sprint to the sideline, 1 foot on the ground and get that ball perfectly thrown to Hop. But let's actually look at this. Like, this is so ridiculous by DeAndre Hopkins.
What?
Fully elevated, arms completely extended, out jumping three guys. This is so difficult to get your hands on that ball, to make that contested catch and to go down with it. That is why you take a guy like Kyler Murray, number one. It's also why you're willing to make a trade for DeAndre Hopkins. Guys that can do things that you just can't explain. It was special. They created their own Hail Mary. Kudos to them on the play of the year.
It's why you don't give away DeAndre Hopkins either. But anyway, look at the win probability shifts. It was unbelievable. The two-minute warning, the Bills had a win probability at 29%. It swung to 97% after Stephon Diggs' touchdown. Then the Cardinals had a crazy 97% win probability swing after that DeAndre Hopkins touchdown catch. Unbelievable. But you know what I noticed, Marcus? They're in the end zone. It's like DeAndre Hopkins was much bigger than everybody else. So what did the Bills do wrong there?
Come on, Sean McDermott. You know you're supposed to have a big fella back there. A guy like me, who was back there when college
The
jump ball, or a big tight end on your team, or something like that. Everybody knows that in the back of the end zone on those type of plays,
you ain't got
that
bunnies.
You're supposed to put a big fella back there to make sure they can get up and contest the football. DeAndre Hopkins is one of the better catch contested wide receivers we've ever seen in this league. And he doesn't put anybody back there over 6 foot.
He would have done this to you.
That's a fail on the part of Leslie Frazier and Sean McDermott and the Buffalo Bills. If I was back there at 6'5 with my 37-inch vertical back in my heyday, that wouldn't have been made. That play wouldn't have been made.
Credentials.
Mina, what do you think about that?
Well, now I just want to see a jump off between Marcus Spears and Dan Orlovsky wearing Gumby
not
outfit. But also, why does this have to be about the big men? Okay, why can't we praise Kyler Murray for that throw? I feel like I have to start a segment on this show called Little Man Ballin'. Okay, hosted by Mina Kimes. I'm going to feature Kyler Murray. I'm going to feature Cole Beasley, my fellow little man who was balling in that game. Forget about the big guys. It was the little ones who made the big plays.
I love that point. By the way, I just want to follow up, Dan. You heard what Marcus said. He was the guy. He was the jump guy in the end zone multiple times at LSU.
Yeah.
What do you got on that?
Hop would have done this to him. That's what Hop would have done.
Please.
Nah, but here, this is what I've got to say, because I'm wearing green for a specific reason. Dustin Johnson, congratulations on your Masters win yesterday. And Mina's decided to, like, take a couple shots at me today. She called me a pickle. She called me Gumby. Mina, you know I think you're brilliant, right? Probably as brilliant as the smartest coach ever in the history of the NFL, Bill Belichick. But I do want you to know that that's not the only thing you have in common. Maybe you have some facial expressions the same as well. Maybe you guys respond to some certain situations the same way. So you want to take your shots at me, that's fine. But I'm not above taking my shots back. I look good in Dustin Johnson's green jacket.
Wow, yeah. You'd also look good at Enterprise Rent-A-Car today, Dan. All right, speaking of Bill Belichick, let's talk about the madman, the genius himself. Because while it was monsooning yesterday, as we discussed, my friend Doug Kyhead is a reporter who covers the Patriots up in Boston, posted this picture. This is right after the game, y'all. So you saw the monsoon. Minutes later, of course, it starts raining for the Ravens, clears up minutes later. Who's going to tell me Bill Belichick doesn't control the weather? I think the NFL needs to start their many investigations that cost millions of dollars into Bill Belichick and look into his weather control, because I'm just saying, he's up to something.
No doubt. Hey, New Orleans, get ready, because this is about to be your quarterback. And look at this warm-up. If he's not doing this before the game, y'all ain't going to win a damn thing. This is Jameis Winston getting them hips loose. It sounds like it looked like it should be Dancing with the Stars or a salsa contest. But this is how the man get ready. He got to flip the hips, 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 all the way to the back of the end zone
to get ready to play.
If Jameis ain't flipping his hips, y'all ain't winning nothing.
Yeah, we went through that with Dak Prescott last year. It's interesting because it's actually like similar to a little salsa marimba action. So maybe he'll get it. Marimba's actually an instrument. So I don't know I'm talking about.
He looks like Harry from the Wet Bandits.
Yeah, he does.
When he in Home Alone, when he steps into the window and all the ornaments are broken.
Dan.
What?
Dan, y'all got any SUVs at the rental car place, or is it just
Hold on. We're maybe like on the side today.
You want to hop on too?
Like a
you want to hop on too? I'll make y'all get an Uber. You're not even allowed to rent your vehicle.
You know, the thing
is,
go somewhere else.
Listen,
what kind of race are we looking at, though?
Is Mina Kimes texted us today and said, hey, Dan, are you going to change your outfit before the show? And Dan's like, of course I'm not. Because Mina knew she was coming with all the flames. All right,
I hate
Dan.
You guys.
No, we love you. We'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live.